Hello.
What's happening, Kat?
Oh dear. What is that?
This is morning me.
You are cranky.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started.
Oh my God. So what had happened was
That's what I'm waiting to hear.
Sci-fi party line.
Time with my internet.
Are you on AOL? What is going on? Is this dial-up?
It's windy. It's
Welcome
windy
to
out.
AOL.
Oh no.
No, I'm on Clear, and every time it freaking rains or it's windy, which I'm in Portland.
Speaking of Portland, let's try to talk about Grimm again.
Do that. Let's
So
do that.
before Stephanie rudely hung up on the call. Rude. Yeah, we were talking about how Grimm, I feel like this season, the return of it is way more together, and it's building upon its little mythology well. And I'm not bored like I was last season. And then Carl came back with.
What did you come back with?
Yeah, I wasn't sure what I came back with.
You
How
came
much I
back with.
enjoyed
You were saying something about the biker chick and the blah blah.
Oh, well, yeah, the whole alternate world of the Weezin coming in. It was sort of like the mobsters
Now
from
just let him go. Let him go. It's the Vessin or the West, but just let him.
Yeah,
It's not
let
like
him be.
Weasley, like this is Harry Potter's.
The point is having that whole other, bad brothers world starting to creep in there, and they're getting more and more powerful, and they're creeping in on, cop bosses' territory. That was kind of dark and mobs interesting. And I was feeling a little, Capricorn in that too. But
Oh.
we won't go there. We won't go there. It was cool. It was cool. So I'm liking the tension that was starting up. Now, I am never a big fan of amnesia. Anything, I that is never it seems like too simple a plot twist for me to try to pull that kind of stuff out. However, with these guys, they've kept it moving enough with everybody else that it wasn't such a problem.
I
So,
highly disagree.
Oh, come on
Yeah,
now, come on, you.
this is worse than that time on 24 when Jack's wife Terry had amnesia and it was just the saddest, and then she had a baby or something. It was terrible. I hate it because next thing she's gonna have amnesia, she's gonna remember him, she's gonna have a baby, it's gonna be a baby Grimm, and the show's gonna get canceled. I can see it. That's the
You just have a problem with Juliet. I don't know what your beef is with her. From the beginning, you have had a beef with Juliet, and just she is just
Stephanie,
one of many.
explain.
Okay, here's how it is. I love everything about the show except for this amnesia plot line. And I'll tell you why. It's gone on for literally an entire season now. It's gone on from half one season to half another season. It's really getting old. I was never interested in it, so I'm like, okay, well, fine. They have to do their amnesia thing for two or three episodes. Just kidding! Just kidding! They're doing it forever! That's all Juliet is for now. Why is this happening to my eyes? I don't understand why I have to watch this. I don't mind Juliet anymore because pretty much all she does now is try and remember stuff. The thing that would make me eat my words is if this whole thing that she's experiencing now, when she's getting her memories back, if she actually takes that crap and runs the other direction and goes insane and then leaves the show, that would be awesome.
No, that is not going to happen. They would not have strung her along
Well, but see?
like Lana Lang for a season and a half.
Oh, yeah,
Was just gonna let it.
it's that painful.
So I told you that's I'm not a tremendous fan about that part. But look, they have focused on so many other characters, so much other stuff is going on that that has just been like I said. Again, you ain't like Juliet anyway. So, you know, the fact that she's
never been a thing. It's not that I didn't like her. I just didn't understand what she was for. And that is what I didn't like. Actor,
I didn't like Juliet. She's beautiful.
But yeah, you get your persons right on dislike, sir. But I don't have a problem.
I didn't like her.
I didn't like her. Yeah, stop it, Stephanie. And behave. We're not doing that.
I'm afraid I'm going to get cut off again by nature.
I don't know. It's just, it takes so much energy. It's a little interesting now that she's, you know, some of the fragments of her memory is coming back in the form of visions and multi-Nick. So I wouldn't call it interesting, but it's like, oh, I could feel it wrapping up. I wish it is over.
Okay. Can I talk now?
Hit it.
Yes.
Okay. So the episode, like two episodes ago, when she's walked into the house and for no explainable reason could not leave the house, even though it was a giant pit, with all the like sparky electricity stuff happening.
Termites.
That was never a mystery. That was always that she's getting her memory back. It's stuff like that that should have some sort of impact just fell flat because she wasn't, I mean, the writers, they weren't fooling anyone. This wasn't some new scare for Juliet. This was, she's getting her memory back. Okay, we all know it. Can we just have it happen now so that we can get over this plot line? And I will say one thing. I didn't like Juliet before. I can tolerate her now. And you want to know why? Because she's on this supercilious plot line that I don't even care about. And it's like, okay, I might be annoyed by you if you were more in the plot, but literally Nick won't even talk to you right now. So I don't know what's happening. So I could like her. I started to like her, and then she lost her memory, and now we have this. And now I don't hate her anymore. I hate the writers. Yeah. I'm going, just well, okay, give her something else.
What about the whole thing with Captain Renard? What about all of that? You're not feeling any rage? You nothing?
Well, I mean, just to see him with his shirt off, I liked her for, you know, facilitating that. But that's about it.
I fell flat on that, too, because I never bought that they were super into each other. I never bought that. And, you know, the thing is, I would have to buy that in order to buy the fact that Nick is so super pissed off by the fact that a spell caused Juliet and Renard to get together. I mean, he's like actually hurt as if there was actual infidelity on purpose. And I can't buy that because I never bought that they were into each other. So, yeah. I mean, it would be maybe slightly more interesting if Juliet and Renard, and I think they tried to get at that a little bit when Renard woke up from a dream and Juliet was in his bed. Like, I think they were trying to get at that, but not really. They pretty much dropped that, moved on to buddies, Renard and Nick now. They're like partners in crime. And so, I don't know. Things could have been interesting about this plot, but it's dragged on a lot. And it's like even the people in the show are getting bored of it because they're trying to start up new and more exciting plot lines. So I don't know.
So let's talk about what's going right on Grimm. One more thing that's going wrong is that Captain Renard's shirt hasn't come off nearly enough. But, you know, maybe we'll get more of that as the season goes on. I will, like, we should do a blog post about this at some point, Stephanie, wherever we blog. But the other things that are going to write about this show is you saw the spitting IB guy episode, Carl, right?
That one was kind of rough.
Yes.
That was, I haven't had that much trouble with Grimm since the milkshake episode.
No, I like this one. I mean, it was boring getting up to it, but I like the result that Nick got extra powers and he got to keep them.
See, I thought that was a little convenient.
Well, it was absolutely convenient.
But wait, do we know that they were extra powers, or were those just latent Grimm skills?
It does matter. Because them now.
Okay. All right. Well. Yeah. He's getting super grimmed up now. So that was kind of cool to see the power up. He took it hard on the fruit out in the woods there. That was kind of.
Did you feel pain for the fruit? You're not even a hippie. Sorry. Okay, that fell flat. Hello. Are you still there? Or am I by myself?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh,
now we are actually on dial-up now. This is actually...
I had to figure out how to make it work.
No, that was my favorite part where I was like, should I call in? And you're like, no, I'll call you. And then no calls happened. And I was like, I am punished.
This is terrible. Now I'm going to have to edit this episode. This is so awful. Okay.
Oh, totally leave it in. Whatever.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not all that downtime, because I'm sure Carl filled it up with, like, revolution talk.
Okay, so I don't even
know how much you loved it. That's all.
Oh, dear. where were we?
I don't remember. Oh, Renard's chest.
Oh, yes.
Oh, geez.
That's always a great place to start. So we need more of his chest. I really love the Grimm powers because first he seems to have gotten like super strength because he can kick a lot of butt now. And now it seems that he's fast and he doesn't need his eyes to kick more butt.
Yeah.
And we don't know if they're latent or... as something that was introduced to him. Mm-hmm. I don't care, really.
Yeah, because, look, we want to see him evolving and becoming more powerful. We've heard all of the stories about Grimm and why everybody's so afraid of him. And so far, we've kind of seen him, hitting people with sticks. He shot a couple of dudes. That's been it. And seeing as we've really only seen he and what, grandma, aunt, or whatever. So we haven't really gotten to see the full wrath of Grimm yet.
Well, his mom is pretty scary.
Well, yeah, but
I don't know.
I'm ready to start seeing some grim action now. So,
well, I'm afraid because maybe when it starts to get good, it's gonna get canceled.
Well, so no one's questioning why he has these superpowers. I mean,
he's
questioning. Well, yeah. So at the beginning of the show, I'm like, okay, so there are these Vessen, and they have all these cool powers, and then this super badass family of humans with no superpowers were fighting him, and then suddenly we're finding out that they have superpowers, and that they start with visions. Well, that's pretty magical too. So maybe they're Vessen like three times removed or something. Maybe they're like an extinct Vessen that nobody talked about, and they just kind of call themselves human. I don't know. It seems pretty interesting that the Grimm family would be human, but not really. They're more Vessen than human because they've got powers.
That is interesting because, Renard has taken quite a liking, to the convenience of having a Grimm. Maybe there's some kind of bloodline connection.
I had a feeling that either the Grimms were like cast off earlier than Renard, down the family line in some struggle for power, like the Angles and the Saxons or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And the Grimm are actually ancient royalty or would be royalty, but they ended up on the losing side of something.
Not bad. I can take
that. That would give them this feeling of righteousness that they have, like that their mission is righteous and that would give them kind of a vendetta feel too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand. The only thing I don't understand about the Grimms are, except for Nick, they were pretty much jerks, like killing everybody. And it hasn't really addressed that much either. Initially, when all the Vessen are afraid, oh, it's a Grimm. Oh, well, they beyond that, they haven't talked about how, like sadistic and maniacal family line has been, killing off, you know, calculating murderers, basically killing off people.
Yeah, because, so, like, are they the police of the supernatural world? Are they just on some revenge thing? Or are they, like you said, a vendetta because they were cast out? Like, what is the purpose? What is the point? And I really want them to address that instead of things like amnesia.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's where I feel the writers, they've got a lot of room to be creative. And the fact that they're wasting so much time on an amnesia plot could be that they're preparing for, you know, some sort of intricate storyline that's gonna explain some more stuff. I'm just gonna be hopeful there, because if it's just that they needed time to get Juliet back up to speed, I mean, that's just killing me. I'd rather see Lieutenant Wu into the fold before I see that happen.
I love Lieutenant Wu. That's my...
He's like the one gamer of my... episode. That was my favorite episode. I love that. When Wu's like, I got this. Don't you?
We need more love for the Wu. It's true. He has been kind of pushed to the side, and you know he has also been sort of relegated to that Lana Lang thing, where all of a sudden, you know, it's like, did you hear something? Cuckoo, and then he's knocked out, and then the grandmaster come in, and then he'll wake up in his own bedroom like, I'm a cop. How did I get here? You know, oh, we don't know, Wu. We don't know, man. You just really took care of him. I don't know. So to finally see him getting a little more screen time is good. Yes.
Yeah.
Did anybody else love the fact that in that episode, not once was the name Rumpelstiltskin mentioned?
Thank you.
I loved that so much.
Yeah. I was getting a little Once Upon a Time crossover action.
Yeah.
You all know what the other subtle reference in that episode was, right? You get it? You guys get it? You get it?
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
No.
Did you look at the login name?
Oh, yes. It was Aaron Soon.
Aaron Soon, yes. That little Farscape action happened.
I was like, how awesome is that? Who gets Nobody, because the show is canceled.
You got to respect the classics. Got to do it.
Did you just say that? That was awesome. That was amazing.
Yeah, but that was some good stuff. Like, I used to like, oh, I gotta watch Grimm again. But now, as soon as it pops up in my Hulu, I'm like, oh, play.
Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. And Rosalie's back.
Finally, yes. I was missing Rosalie. She's great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about that? She's so cute. I love her.
She and Monroe are good. They are.
Yeah.
Monroe is...
I know Carl. Oops, sorry. Go ahead.
What do you say? You know Carl what?
Well, I know Carl and I were in agreement, like, at the beginning, for once. No, I'm just kidding. In the agreement of, like, at the beginning of the show, when pretty much the only character that we really liked was Monroe. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's progressed so much that there are more characters I'm interested in, you know, and it's not just Monroe. And, in fact, they're complementing each other really well. I love that Hank is involved. I'm actually kind of excited that we finally know, you know, it might be a tenuous alliance, but we finally know that Nick can openly work together for a while, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
I like that too, because at any moment the alliance could break, but right now they're together. You know, like that's cool to me. And I love that Wu is on the cusp, you know, doing his Sudoku puzzles and figuring out stuff. I like that. I love more characters now. And I think that really speaks to the credibility of the show. Because if they were just relying on Monroe, a likable character, to carry the whole show, it'd probably be canceled by now.
And like I said, you know, our brief alignment in terms of agreeing on stuff, I didn't think that Monroe was the only interesting character, but I thought that he really personified the mythology of what they were trying to do early on, you know, where he was, you know, he was just this deadpan guy. But oh, by the way, he's also like a werewolf, you know, oh, by the way. And the way and the way he played it so casually. And, but see, then you know, each new character that they introduced, he was just sort of like the linchpin that made it believable for everybody else that we saw that was like that.
Yeah.
And that, and so it, they really did flesh that out. And that's what I'm optimistic that they're going to be able to make this mythology believable. Like you said, no one said Rumpelstiltskin, to be able to carry that on and to pull that, because you keep seeing it. You know, they hint in the slightest way of what's going on, and they still make it believable and interesting, and they make it modern and up to date. So that's right. That's fun. That's fine.
And they don't. Go ahead. They don't take themselves too seriously either, because the subject matter, like, you could go really dark or whatever, but that's been done, and so they keep a little bit light, a little bit quirky, and they just have a really good balance of storytelling and mythology and character relationships. One thing that I'm also happy about is to see that beaver come back, the beaver character come back.
Yes. I was just thinking about those guys. Yep. Yeah.
Because in Oregon, beavers are a big thing. I mean, they're the mascot for OSU. And I know that sounded like phrasing, Stephanie. Don't say that. But, anyway. But the animal beaver and the mascot beavers are a big thing. And I think it's just really cute that they've got him coming back and doing small little roles, because, you know, when they were doing that whole Zess and Army thing, Den or whatever, Nick's whole pitch to them was stand up, you know, have a voice and fight back. And, you know, it's just fun to see more characters from previous shows have more of a role. And I think that's cool, because that makes the whole universe a little bit more believable. Mm-hmm. And Carl, you don't know exactly what I'm talking about, and I didn't exactly spoil it for you, but you'll see more of him in the next episode. I think that's cool. I like that they're doing that.
I like him.
Talking about what you were talking about, Stephanie, the quirkiness of the characters, I really like how, and like you said, Carl, they were kind of deadpan, but it's all funny. And it kind of reminds me of the demons in Buffy, how they were just kind of really relaxed and really just funny. And that, you know, this guy's just talking like really normally and casually, but he has horns on his head and he has red eyes and stuff. But it's just like, hey, pal, what are you looking at? And then it's just, you know, he's a demon. And I just like that approach that they're doing. And yeah, I really like what Grimm's doing. I've been hearing some scary rumors about the cancellation. So I'm on watch. Like, somebody actually said it was canceled. Then it was like a day before April Fool's. So I didn't really, you know, getting all scared or whatever. But I hope it's doing well. And I just think that they're doing some good stuff. Oh, also, you remember when Nana Visitor from Deep Space Nine came on and she was talking about the bees?
Yes.
We finally got to see a freaking bee do something. And he was, you know, wasn't he a bee?
Did we?
Or was
what did we see?
Well, when he was licking the people's eyes.
Oh, that was the fly. That was like the fly or whatever.
Yeah,
I had to watch through my fingers. Like, I couldn't watch that whole thing because it was disgusting and creepy.
Yeah. That was funny. I mean, that was getting to be like early season Fringe disgusting right there, wasn't it? Well, we got to scoop his eye out, and then you just smear it on this paper towel, and I was like, oh, this can't be hygienic.
They're scooping his eye out, and the woman whose home everyone is invading at the same time is like, okay.
She seemed to take it well, actually. I thought she did very well.
Okay, well, no bees then.
All right. No, but that's coming.
I think they forgot and they're going to drop it.
I don't think so. I think it will probably come a little bit later. Something like that needs way more backstory and way more sort of a setup. So so I think they're slowly interweaving, or at least setting up some stories to be interwoven, and that's probably one of them.
I think that's something that they dropped and they're never going to revisit.
Well, I don't know, something that big, it's coming, the war is coming, like, okay, so that's got to be something that they can't ignore. Okay. I mean, they pretty much openly invited criticism if they ignore that. But one thing that I didn't like in this last episode was this random postcard from his mom. Or it wasn't a postcard, but it was like, hey, how you doing? Got the coins. Bye. Like, what? I don't know. I was like, okay, so you can't afford her on the show for very often. We get that. But really, I had completely forgot about his mom, and I kind of didn't care about it at all. And I actually even didn't even care that she had the coins.
And it didn't move the story forward at all.
No, it didn't.
It served no purpose.
Non sequitur. Yeah.
So,
spoilers. Okay.
Yeah.
They're just there. They're just building. They're just building. That's all.
They're building. Okay. All right. Whatever. The brother thing with the blonde chick who's pregnant now. They need to move it along because they're skulking around and it's boring me a little bit.
Do you know what?
What?
On the scale of 1 to 10, 1 being okay hair, 10 being hideous, I think that Renard's brother's hair surpasses Nick's Lego hair by far. Renard's brother's like Brillo pad mullet. In the last episode, I was like, I can't do this. Lego hair is nothing. I mean, anyway, his hair has gotten much better. Nick's hair has gotten much better, but I think I'm partly not really caring about Nick's hair anymore because of this hideousness that is the Brillo pad mullet of the brother.
Brillo pad. You know, I noticed in the latest episode that I didn't notice Nick's hair as much either because it's not so plastic.
They listen to us.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they
did. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that. Now, if we can just get them to listen about Juliet, either kill her off so we can all cry and get over her and get a really spicy girlfriend in there, or...
Yeah, why would I think that you would hate Juliet? Why would I think that? I don't know.
That's not hating. That's not hating. That's wishing her story would do something better. I mean, because...
I think she should go insane. That would be so awesome. It could be a sad story. Like,
and then they'd keep her in a sane asylum. We have to visit her a la American Horror Story.
No, she should go insane and then become bad or something.
Oh, like go... Yeah.
Okay, yeah, if she went bad, that would be good.
Put her in some leather, put her in some really deep, dark mascara. That'd be really interesting.
Well, no, because she seems like she'd be a much better bad character because she's got tendencies of badassery, but you can't really see it because she's always confused and has electricity problems in her house. So, I mean, I think if multiple Nicks drove her insane, which why wouldn't, like, who wouldn't be driven insane by that? But multiple Nicks driving her insane and turning her over to the dark side. You see, it's Friends of Adeline, right? Mm-hmm. Or Adelaide? Mm-hmm. Adeline?
Yep. Okay. Adeline.
Okay, yeah. She's friends with her, so that's not that bad of a stretch, especially since she's been mucked around with via potions. So, I mean, everybody keeps saying, oh, that's like super dangerous. And blah, blah, blah. So if they make her bad, I would totally want Juliet to still be on the show. But if they continue to have her confused and annoying, then no, I wish that she would just, you know, maybe get on another show.
Kick the bucket. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what's coming on, Graham, but I don't know how many more episodes we have either, but I approve of what they're doing. I think they're doing a great job, even with our complaints. They just, you know, start making it more interesting, start drawing in more people so you don't get canceled, and I get blamed for it for some reason.
It'll be on you. It'll be on you.
Yeah, sure. Shut it up.
You know what? Even if Graham is canceled, it's nothing like continuing revolution and that's on Carl. Oh, that's on Carl.
That is on Carl. That is Carl's fault.
That's on Carl.
What is wrong with you people?
I stopped watching it. I totally ignored it. And then Carl was like, ooh, everybody, we're going to watch Revolution. When does it come back on? And bleep, bleep.
I do not recall sounding like a crazy minor at any point. I do not recall that. I simply said, if you're going to watch Revolution, the last 40 seconds is the most utterly ridiculous thing I have seen so far. So that's all.
The last 40 seconds?
The last 40 seconds, yes. Because it was preposterous before. Now, it is just, it's jumped the shark now. It is just ridiculous.
Okay, what, because refresh me.
Oh, well, you know, we were going along just fine during the episode with the normal, you know, normal Revolution craziness. Sure, power just flips on and off. Helicopters flying around. People are out walking helicopters. Don't get me started on that. But then at the very end of the episode, because you see, if you have the dramatic ear that I do for cliche and ridiculousness, you might have noticed earlier on in the episode when they turned to the mom and they said something to the effect of, "Yeah, but I thought you were dead. I mean, you were dead. There's no way you could have come out of that. And so that's why I left. There's no way you could have survived that." And she just kind of went, "Yeah, I know," and stared off into space. See, ordinary people let that go. They let that kind of stuff go. But in the context of Revolution, given my spidey sense for utter insanity, I was like, now, you're not going to tell me that she has somehow come back from the dead. You're not going to try to tell me that.
Are you serious?
So, because clearly that would not be the case, because that would be utter preposterousness. So, as the episode progresses and things are going on with their normal gunfights and craziness, and oh no, I can't believe. Wait, have you seen the episode, Steph?
No, I can't. Oh. I can't even hate watch that. I cannot even hate watch that show.
Okay, all right. So, so you know, at the end of the episode, in a very dramatic flare, which was, you know, touching, and of course nobody saw coming a mile away, that the brother that they spent the entire first season trying to find runs out with a bazooka, excuse me, rocket launcher, in the middle of a gunfight. I mean, hellfire machine guns coming out of a helicopter. He runs out with his grenade launcher, rocket launcher, stands in a wide open space, and fires. Now, of course, he gets all shot up, but it's slow mo and it's dramatic. So, you know, we're really supposed to feel.
But he stood there lingering for a while. If he had.
So he stands as the bullets are going through him. No, you know, and he falls down. You know, like every bad guy, good guy, heroic death we have seen. So now, yes, he is, quote, dead now. And so, oh, we can't believe it. We've spent all this time. I just got to know my son. We spent the whole first season trying to find his behind. And now he is dead. And so the...
Are you bringing zombies into this?
The episode ends with the mother very sadly looking on the body of her deceased son. And this is the same mom, remember, that earlier in this episode, because they wouldn't have hinted at it at any point prior in the series, mind you. So earlier in the episode, we're like, but you were dead. There's no way you could have survived that. And she reaches down and she begins to perform the, quote, autopsy on her son. She slices into the boy and pulls out what looks like a Borg chip of some kind. She pulls a Borg chip out of her boy. Now,
did I miss this?
Apparently, if you don't know what I am talking about,
I don't.
The entire episode, the entire show has been around. No technology, no electronics survives. We're living in the freaking dark ages, yet magically, she pulls a blinking light electronic chip out of her pseudo-dead son now.
A blinking light?
Blink, it had a light, because of course, you know, that's the only way you know it's technology, is if it's got a blinking light on it.
And a vacuum tube.
You ever seen a pacemaker with a blinking light on it? You know, No, that's how they got to do it. To let everyone know the boy had technology in him.
How far away was it from underneath his skin?
Oh, no, it was like maybe an inch and a half.
So that makes sense. a covert blinking light through the skin.
It should have ticked great. Too. I'm sure maybe had like a buzzer from cell phone action. So now what this is so subtly saying, Kat, how did you miss this?
I don't know.
You probably were just exasperated and ran early on. Yes, that is the touching conclusion of the revolution. So now they got Borg parts in them. And I'm sure mom's got one too, which is why she magically survived when she was supposed to be dead. So, you know, look, it was ridiculous. It has always been
Borg
ridiculous.
Parts.
But now... Now you can tell me they got cybernetic parts in them.
You know what they did? They're like, instead of a focus group, they just had a whole bunch of nerds get in the one room and like Cards Against Humanity style. What they did was just have these nerds put down every favorite plot of any science fiction show they've ever seen, and then they shuffled up the cards, and then they just dealt out some cards for their plot lines. That's what happened.
You're right. Multi-sided dies is what it was. They just went, and no power. Yes, that's right. machine guns and but look, what I was talking about, walking the helicopters. Remember, you know, you got the
helicopters. Tell me that wasn't written down by some focus group nerd. I need to see a walking helicopter.
That makes no sense.
Here's all I'm saying. Right, they are on foot. At best, on foot, running up and down the East Coast, trying to get to their various, you know, revolutionary rebel bases.
Do you mean Vancouver?
Well, it is supposed to be, because remember we saw the baseball stadium. It's supposed to be, you know, the East Coast U.S. Mm-hmm. When they find out that, what's his name, Monroe? Or
Monroe.
Oh, there's another Monroe. That's right. Yeah.
Monroe from the Cape.
Yes, yes. When they find out that Monroe has, now he's got the power, he's got his helicopter, you know, attack fleet flying around. So they have got to go and warn the rebels. You know, they've got to go and warn the other. Now, at best, these guys have a car, okay, which we have never seen. But at best, this ragtag fleet has a car. But so we're going to assume, let's just say they're driving, all right? Which, of course, you never see. Because how do we always see them emerging out of the bush on foot in their perfectly pristine leather jackets? off camera, out of the woods, on foot with the bow and arrow. You know, and they're, at last we've reached the rebel base. We got to warn them. Now, they've been on foot a week and a half, right? Of course, fight as they arrive at the base. Then you hear Monroe's helicopter. Monroe's had power a month and a half at this point. These people have been walking in the bush, and suddenly, just about the time that they arrive, they are just in time to see the helicopters. And this is not one time, mind you. They just sit on like three different rebel bases each time. Either the smoke is still going on from the missile launch that has just occurred, or you hear the helicopters rapidly approaching because they just made it on foot. I'm like, are you kidding me, people?
Carl, you cannot be this upset and angry about this because you had a chance to not watch this show. You had a chance to ignore this show. You kept it on your mind because it felt like something you had to watch, and you had to bring me into it, and you had to bring you into it. So this exacerbation that you're going through, this rage, sir? No.
See, I knew that you.
How many episodes?
I'm talking about. This is just one. This rage come from one episode.
Oh my god. Okay, so you know that saying, "Fool me once, shame on you."
Fool me
Let's
once.
Let's go there.
See, you know, it had been off the air for like a year and a half, so I figured maybe somebody had written something. I was giving it another shot.
What would make you think that?
Because they had a year and a half to work on it. They had plenty of time. Plenty of time. I thought.
Oh, man, you are so full of hope sometimes.
I know.
Yeah, that's a lot of hope. That is beautiful. Way too much hope.
Did I know Boar Parts? How would I have known? Come on, Boar Parts, really?
Those aren't Boar Parts. Those are like Radio Shack parts that are blinking.
You're probably right. It was mighty lo-fi to be something supposed to be coming out of a body. I mean, it was just like, well, it's got a wind-up key on the back.
My son is an automaton. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. I couldn't watch that show anymore because of all the same reasons that you just said, minus the walking helicopters. Everything that you just said, oh, the pristine leather jacket, oh, the super dramatic party of five moments, oh, this, that, the other. Like, I couldn't watch it for that reason, and you're still telling me the same thing. So, I don't know. You're doing this to yourself. I'm seeing some masochism.
I survived. Yeah. Terra Nova. So after that, you know, I figure I can make it. That is just
So
he's got Stockholm syndrome. He's like in love with his captors now. That's all I have to say.
It's gonna get better.
This isn't a healthy man.
It's gonna get better. That's why it's the only reason it's still on TV is because it's gonna get better, right? That's why it's gotta get better.
So Carl needs help, people.
We need a support group for Carl.
So this is Christmas. Have you seen him on the street corner? And what have you done? help the real sci-fi fans.
Oh, man. And then I can't believe you made me watch it because... And then there's that one poor guy on Twitter that was like, ooh, Revolution, when's that coming back on? He was like sincerely happy.
He really was excited. I
was shaking my head like,
see, look, really, honestly, the only reason that I was subjecting you to this particular episode of Revolution was the last 40 seconds, which is why I'm for that you didn't see it. I'm like, how?
I think I must have zoned out at that point or got
that was the only thing. Because, you know, it had a regular level of ridiculousness for Revolution all along until we got to that end. And then I just said, I don't, but that's when the hands went up. I just said, that's when it really just crossed
wrong
over.
So, you
know, yeah, I see. You were supposed to share the rage with me, but you just bailed. You bailed. You were like, I'm not even going to stay for credits. That's enough. That's enough.
Oh, I'm so sorry for, like, having the foresight not to watch that show. Yes, I'm really sorry.
You were supposed to suffer with me. That was the whole reason I did this.
This isn't the river. This actually lasts for a long time. I don't think so.
River.
I mean, the river wasn't that bad. I mean, I didn't hate it that much.
Hey, it only lasted 8 episodes, okay? So that's forgivable.
The man came out of a cocoon like magic, and it wasn't that bad. I'm just letting you
talk about. Okay, enough of Revolution. That's
yes,
enough.
Walking.
We spent too much on that. So let's talk about like the entire season of The Walking Dead right now.
Yes, we can make up, cleanse the palate.
Really, it's like...
Wow, okay, that's so hard. That's hard to do. You just like jerked me out of one space and put me into such a more enjoyable space.
You should be relieved. It should be like...
I am, but it's like hard to adjust.
Well, let's start with the bullshit of the season. And how about that? And then we'll go to.
Okay.
So, the bullshit of the season, I'm just going to start with the end, Andrea.
Yeah. Yeah. Andrea.
She wasn't helping nobody. She was not helping this whole season. You were just like, we need to smack her. This is ridiculous.
It's nothing going on here with Angie. I kept rooting for her. Now, now that it's all said and done, I do feel that my attachment to Sheets with a great thread count could have been not the right choice.
Oh, really? Really, you think? You think?
Because most likely I would...
Your manager, the Bed Bath & Beyonds, got heads in a fishbowl. That wouldn't have thrown you if it was the right thread count. That was okay.
Well...
My favorite part of that story is that now that they've taken all these Woodbury people in with 300 sheets break out, and now that Merle's like torn up every single solitary mattress looking for snack. That's awesome to me.
Man's got news.
Okay, sorry.
Well, yeah, that well, we would have been dead if, like, if I had was pregnant and had a kid or something. I guess I'd be alive. But if I went on the mission with him to try to take down the prison, then he would have shot me, which is total bullshit. Like, he reduced his numbers just because they were like sane.
Yeah.
Well, he's never been a sane man to begin with. Like, I mean, that's an insane thing to do, and I wasn't surprised by his actions. As soon as he turned around in a rage, I'm like, ooh, all these people are about to die. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so it was like, this man's crazy. It's not logical. It doesn't make sense, but he's not been logical. Yeah. In fact, they kept saying that, Milton or whatever the dude, the scientist guy was.
Yeah.
He kept saying, I knew you before. You were not this man. You've turned into this monster. And he sure has. And it's interesting because, you know, the Walking Dead writers, they like to parallel. They like to run character arcs on parallel. So they've got this governor character arc, and they've got Rick. You know, he was like, I'm the leader. Everything I say goes. And then he goes through this sort of, I don't know, this sort of evolution, his own character, he could very easily have gone the way of the governor. And now I think what's interesting about that is now Carl, the son, he may very well go the way of the governor because he's having to grow up in this world and the rules of being civilized and the rules of just generally being a good human being, those are out the window now. So when those are gone, it's really interesting to see what's happening to a boy in his formative years go through that.
It's not that I don't agree with Carl either, because he's seen a lot of people die because you, Rick and others have been civilized to other people, and a lot of people have lost their lives because of it. So, I mean, are we that mad for him for being that way? I don't think so, because if he had kept that little kid alive or whatever, he probably would have had to, like, cut his dad's leg off or shoot his dad in the head, and he just didn't want to go through it. Yeah, sad for the guy, but, you know...
He's got Rick.
No, I absolutely agree with you.
He's got Rick, Daryl, and Shane as his role models. So the fact that he's managed to keep the wheels on this long is a miracle. So, yeah, he's looking a little unsteady now, though.
Yeah, but I guess we started with Andrea, but we quickly just took some size of whatever.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, there's not much to say other than disappointment. I really wanted her. I really was rooting for her. A lot of people said that in the comic book that she was really badass. I never saw that in her. All I saw is a lot of confusion and not knowing which way to go. And I like at the end that she said she tried to do it her way and she wanted to do it without anyone dying. And she wanted to be a peacemaker. But, you know, that didn't quite work out for her. So,
At the beginning of the season where, you know, first of all, she had gotten lost out in the woods by herself and managed to team up with Michonne. At that point, I really thought we were going to get to see some more of her real badassery. You know, I really thought that we're going to see a little bit more fun from her with that. But, you know, the instant she got, you know, laid up underneath the governor, it was just like all of the excitement of her character just washed away. You know, she's a housewife in Mayberry. And, you know, we never really got to see the fun strength of her character, because actually she had been developing before all of that. Remember, you know, she and that Shane thing was going on, and, you know, she was getting a little harder, and, you know, she was getting better with the weapons and stuff. And, you know, we saw a little bit of that. But, you know, this whole season, we didn't get to see that rough part of her. And I was really disappointed that never came back.
We got to see her knife a few zombies in the head.
Yeah, but see, that's not... This is a whole season. It's a whole season of Walking Dead. Shoot, you get that before credits in most episodes.
I don't know. A lot of people are really disappointed in her character. I'm disappointed in her character, but not for the same reasons. Mm-hmm. I feel like what a crazy night and day my feelings for her were. So, like, at the end of season two, I was just terrified that she was going to die. She's running away from the farm, separated from the group, and being hunted down by zombies, a herd of zombies, no less. And I thought for sure she was going to die, and I didn't want that to happen because I really liked her character. And then now here we are, fast forward to the end of season three, and I don't have those same feelings for her.
Yeah.
And yes, it's disappointing. And yes, the fact that she was so completely taken by the governor is disappointing. But, you know, there are some subtleties in her character that maybe were not communicated as well as they could have been by the writers. This whole show is about leaders and the choices they make and just what a crapshoot it is, like the luck value it is.
Mm-hmm.
So Rick has made similar stupid ass decisions in the past as a leader that Andrea was trying to do. Like, Andrea wanted to make sure nobody died, right? That was her big thing. And she thought that she was a leader. She thought she could control somebody. And she just lost. She rolled the dice and she lost. Maybe the fact that she was so taken by the governor, maybe that is disappointing, but it's almost like she allowed herself to be taken by the governor because she had more power. And throughout the whole Walking Dead storyline, she was always constantly trying to struggle for her place. And she felt like she probably had a good place there, especially when she gave that heroic speech to all the folks after the governor lost his shit. Like, she stood there and she was a leader and she brought these people together, and even the governor recognized that. And so, you know, they have these little subtle dynamics that just weren't played out as much. The failures that I saw and the disappointments that I saw in her character in this season was, one, I was not fully convinced that she and Michonne so strongly cared about each other. I think if we had more time with them together, I might have been more convinced. So I was just pissed off that she let Michonne leave without her. I was pissed off, where I should have been it should have been a heartbreaking scene where there's this division of two great friends that have so much respect for each other. But I didn't see that. It wasn't convincing enough. And then the point, again, when she kept trying to intervene and she kept trying to control people, ultimately, she is not the leader that the governor and that Rick are. She strove to be that leader, but she could not overcome her own faults, so she couldn't do it. And I think that's partly what's so disappointing about her as well, because she had potential, but she spent all her time trying to be the game master and manipulate people, and she lost. So that's why I was disappointed in her.
Yeah.
I was disappointed in her because she had so much potential. She let this become an issue. She didn't have any confidence in herself and in her strength. Or maybe she had too much confidence. I don't know. You know? But her motives were not convincing enough. And when they were convincing, her actions sucked. Her actions weren't convincing enough. Like, she didn't, finally, when she could redeem herself and kill the governor in his sleep, she didn't even do that. You know why? Because of her hubris. She thought that she could do it another way. And I'm disappointed in her because of those things. Not necessarily just because she was a complete douche this whole season.
Well, it was a lot to deal with her, because first we had to go through the whole thing with her wanting to commit suicide and wanting to die. And so that was a drag. And then we kind of got hope for her to see, like, what she's going to do, where is she going to go, where is her loyalty going to lie, where is she going to join the group, when she joins the group, is she going to stay, is somebody going to let her stay? That didn't happen for her, because I really thought she was going to stay in the prison. I thought that the chair that was meant, the torture chair that was meant for Michonne ended up with her ass in it was very unfortunate. I also think that perhaps she wanted to die because there was plenty of time. She took her time trying to get out of that chair. Instead of just killing that guy and get over with, she was talking, she was digging in her ass. I mean, like, just get out of there. You know, you have a limited amount of time, but it seemed like she took her time too long talking and messing around.
Yes, it was too little, too late. So, one part of the season that wasn't disappointing to me about Andrea was when she was running back to the prison to try and save people, when she realized, I have spent too much time trying to orchestrate this myself. Now I just have to save people. And she finally chose a side. And so she's running back to the prison, and she's holed up in that whatever it was, a warehouse, a meatpacking plant. I don't even know what that was. But when she freaking let all those zombies loose on the governor, I was like,
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I was totally satisfied by that. But it was, like you said, it was too little, too late.
I really enjoyed that episode. It was like, it was slow, but I enjoyed the horror movie aspect of it. And because the governor totally became like Jason Voorhees stalking her. And he, and the fact that he popped up after she ran the whole time and he did not get, because I thought he was dead. I thought it was, he was dead and it was done. But this dude popped up at the last minute, managed to catch up with her.
Yeah.
Oh, that just, and just before, I was like, you could have screamed louder. You could have done something else to get yourself to have somebody see you and not have that guy take you down and end up in, what did you call it, Stephanie, the gyny chair?
Oh, that was the thing that freaked me out the most. The fact that she had, like, the stirrup and then that thing that, like, metal thing for the vajayjay, like, ooh, that was creepy. Like, why would you do that? Why would you save that? Creepy, creepy Governor Purfall. Like, why would you do that? Anyway, I was going to say, in addition to that, Kat, when she's finally, like, and she just doesn't have the strength to yell, and she's waving her arms, and Rick almost shoots her, I was just like, I almost think that would have been a better end for her. That would have been a Night of the Living Dead ending, where she actually gets mistaken for a zombie when she's trying to save everyone, and she gets shot and dies by Rick. Like, I think that probably would have been more satisfying and a little bit more
visual.
Sort of. Well, the thing is, the whole point of the season finale episode was trying to redeem her, and it sort of was okay, but it didn't quite hit the mark in her redemption. I think if she had gotten shot by Rick, I would have felt like her character was more redeemed. But anyway,
I don't know, Carl. What do you think about the whole?
Well, I share the exact same frustrations about Andrea for the whole season, and you know, you did a good job of covering that, because I was getting pretty tired of her, really, because I just don't like that. I understand from a plot standpoint, you know, you need that person to sort of stir things up and to create the tension and to create the difficulty that the rest of the crew is going to have to endure. But for it to always be her, and for it to have been her in such an uninteresting way, you know, for it just to keep going, well, I think we can all get along. I think it's just a little, if we just hug it out, you know, that all of that just really, really bothered me. So I found that a little stressful. But I want to move on from Andrew.
So what do you got next?
Carl? What I like, what I thought was cool, but unfortunately far, far too short, was seeing Morgan again in The Walking Dead. Morgan's literal crazy town that he just built up, you know, the booby traps and then, you know, all the stuff around. I was so happy to see him again, because I have been wondering since the beginning, how's he doing? What's going on? What's been going on? How's he survived all this time? Now, I don't quite get logistically where he was relative to where they were from where he started, and the path that Rick has been on. And I'm not going to let that go. I'm going to just let that go. But it was really
good. I'm just going to interject. I had the same problem with that crazy warehouse that they did the Jason Voorhees talking. Like, where is that? Why haven't they run across that? Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But so it was good to see him again. And, you know, him being crazy in that way made total sense, though.
No, it didn't.
You say that. Why?
Because it doesn't. He seemed to have a little bit of wits about himself. I thought he was going to be stronger. I did not expect him to be scrawling on the walls. You must clear. And, you know.
He was flaky. He was on the edge when we first saw him because of his wife. And then for him, the only thing that he was kind of hanging on to was the love of his son, trying to keep his family together, you know, and then for him to lose the boy and because of his love for his wife. Oh, yeah. I mean, he was the same kind of Carl disease. He was like, I ain't taking the chances anymore. That's it. I'm no more. I'm not opening my heart. I'm not opening up anything else. And the man had accumulated enough weaponry. I don't know what kind of pickup trucks or, you know, how he, I mean, because everywhere you look, and these are not small weapons either. He had, like, you know, a whole bucket full, which, by the way, I don't understand why the crew, shoot, that's where they should have held up. They need to go back to Morgantown.
Oh, yeah.
If they want a place to stay.
They almost took, like, a bag full of guns.
Yeah. I mean, Morgan was like, I got plenty. Whatever you need, guys. He's like, I'll just take this little six-shooter. No, man, rack up. Morgan was set.
That's what I thought. I thought he was going to join the team, and I really wanted him to, like, what is that actor doing anyway? He could be on the Walking Dead.
I know he wants to be. I know he's like, y'all really? That's it? That's all you want me to do? Because everybody wants. So I was sad that that's all we got to see. Maybe he'll come back, or maybe we'll see some more of him.
He's done.
I was hoping that wouldn't be it.
I think he's done.
It was good to see him, and I thought that was really, really cool. So
but I really hate what they did with him, so I wasn't as excited.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was, yeah. Yeah, well,
I loved that episode.
Yeah,
I loved it because I'll tell you why it saved Michonne's character for me.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Carl's character really started to come into shape in that episode as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, we forget that he's just a boy so often, and the fact that he did this stupid boy thing in that episode just kind of solidified it for me. I liked that his growth went that way, and then it reminded me as an audience member that he is still, I think he's under 10 years old still, right? Or he might be 10 or 12 now, I don't remember. But anyway, he's still a kid. And then Michonne, like, she finally had more than one expression on her face.
Thank I know, right? A smile.
She said a whole right? sentence.
A smile. And I was like, what's happening? She's talking. Oh, my gosh, she's going to die.
I was worried about that, yeah.
I wasn't worried about her dying.
Not? T-Dog started talking, and he died.
No, I wasn't worried about her talking because Lori died. Lori was a flawed character. Don't get me started on Lori, but the fact that Carl is being reared by all these creepy male characters, you needed Michonne for that. You needed a balance, and I was justified. Like, my feelings for her were justified when she actually became the two-dimensional character rather than a one-dimensional character in that show. I mean, you know, her character has developed since then, but that was the first episode for me where it was like her presence was justified in the group. And the fact that Rick and Morgan had their talk, Rick, you know, old Rick sort of internalizes things and takes the blame for everything. And you know that was weighing heavy on him. You know that the fact that he left Morgan behind was weighing heavily on him, even though it shouldn't have, because the fact that Morgan was turning on his radio every day, like, how was Rick to know that? People are dying left and right every day.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's not in the same place to turn on that radio. He was out of range.
Well, right, exactly. But Rick internalized that, felt guilty about it, and then he confronts that guilt because he realizes Morgan went insane. And so then they have that moment where, and it's, I'm sure that that's going to bite Rick in the ass eventually, where Morgan says, "You leave without me, I'm weak, and only the weak people survive." Mm-hmm. Because you know that Rick is a strong character. He will, that will be his downfall one day.
Morgan?
Just like the governor. No, oh. Rick. Rick is strong. That will be his downfall one day. He will, someone will see his as a threat and he will die. Or he will be a strong leader character and do one of his stupid moves where he has to go risk everybody's life to save somebody else's life and he'll die. You just, you know that's the case. And so when they have that moment together and Morgan's like, "No, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm just going to be weak and let all of you strong people kill each other off, and I'll be the only one that's living." That was interesting. That was
a really interesting
line.
Yeah. Well, that was a great episode all around. Just
yeah. It was.
I still wanted him to join the show. I mean, it was a good episode, but I just was like, that's it. Oh.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Yeah.
No, I think we'll see him again.
Yeah, but then, like, he'll kill Rick, like you said, and then...
Maybe not. I mean, you know how people change so quickly in this season. The characters change really quickly, and you know that's true. Like, okay, season one, Carol, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted Carol to die. Everybody thought Carol would die. Season three, Carol is, you know, she's going to take care of herself, and she's good. She has a
yeah. She's nice in zombies now.
Well, I think she and Daryl need to just finally get together, but I would see that.
Oh,
but anyway,
Daryl and Carol.
Yeah.
Well, I hope they get with it. I also noticed that her hair is getting a little longer. It's growing out a little bit. So
that's because her boyfriend was talking about her. He was like, "I thought you was a lesbian." You know?
Yeah.
No, so she was like, "Really? I didn't realize that it was."
The fans had been complaining about like why the grass was being cut and why her hair wasn't growing out. That's why.
Yeah.
That's
so
funny.
Yes, I'm really glad to see that little subtlety. I guess they're just not going to deal with the baby and the formula storyline anymore because, like, I wonder if she has a good supply or, you know, what's happening with that. But that's okay. let's see. Now the other disappointment about this season is that we don't have anything to look forward to. There was no zombie horde coming over the hill or somebody getting or in some. It wasn't a cliffhanger, and cliffhanger.
We still need to know what's happening with the governor, though.
That didn't wrap up either. So we still got have him to think about, and there's nothing to look forward to. Like, we don't have something solid in mind to look forward to. Like, when we saw the sword come out and the two zombie heads with Michonne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her arrival. That was exciting. Then when we saw the zombie horde come over and, you know, that was the ending. That was exciting. And there was a whole bunch of, and when the little girl got capped, that was, you know.
That was amazing.
Mm-hmm. But come think of it, that wasn't even the end of the season, though. That was like, like in the middle somewhere.
So I was just like, is this a middle ending of the season? Is this the end of a season? I thought it was the season finale, and I was like, hey, where's my cliffhanger?
Well, I agree that it did seem a little light. But okay, look, I've given you plenty of time. I was leaving it for what do you two to say, but come on now. The real issue, the real thing about the season ending of Walking Dead this season was Merle. Now you know I was more moved by Merle's demise than Andrea's.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you on that.
And for that, I mean, if you think about it, even if they had totally flipped them where, you know, they had waited and saved Merle until the end, I think, you know, that would have had more of an emotional impact in terms of the finale and the season end and all that. But anyway, For Merle to finally, after all of that, now, after all the stuff he's been through, all the stuff he's put folks through, to finally try and halfway redeem himself, even with Michonne, you know what kind of history them two had, you know, even for him
he
to say, all right, get out of the car.
You
know,
love.
Yeah.
It was love. I was so sad to see Merle Schoen end.
Yeah.
That was rough. That was rough to see that.
It felt contrived, though.
Well,
it felt too fast. We didn't see it coming.
Well, I did.
Yeah, I felt it
coming. I saw that coming.
It was it was forced coming. It wasn't like he started behaving any differently or anything. He was an asshole the whole time, and then like all of a sudden in the end episode, Michonne was like, "Nobody's gonna miss you if you die. Nobody's gonna mourn you, blah." And then he stopped the car, "Get out. I'm going Rambo." And then he does, and it was cool. But it was just like,
my spoiler engine, my spoiler sense tricked off when they were in the prison, and Rick's confronting him, and he's going, "What? Why do you do the things that you do? What motivates you? You know?" And he's giving that whole, "I don't know. I just do my thing, right?" But right about then, I was like, "Uh oh," you know, because you know, no one has bothered to really have a chat with Merle this whole time. You know, Merle, what are you feeling? I need to know your motivations. You know, no one has done that this whole time. And so when that happened, I was like, oh, wait a minute. You know, because that's because, you know, we're trying to make Merle more sensitive. We're trying to understand what propels Merle. I was like, oh, no. You know, but he was such, you know, an important character. I was like, no, come on. They couldn't do that. They couldn't do that.
Well, that's all in one episode. They started with that crap.
Exactly.
Well, I thought that was brilliant. I thought that was really, really cool because it completely turned my opinion of Merle around this season.
I just wish they had spread it out
a
little bit.
They did.
When he didn't kill Michonne, when he didn't kill her, when the governor sent him out to hunt her, he didn't kill her. And then we find out in the car.
I just thought he liked her.
Yeah, or had some kind of hunter's respect is what I was thinking. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay. So in the car, this is what I think was so masterfully freaking done in that episode. I don't even remember what it's called. Something like The Star to Life, that episode where Merle dies. Freaking amazing that you find out so much about him. I mean, you got little snippets about that he was horrible to Daryl. Yeah. And you found out that, you know, he's been in prison multiple times, but he never killed anybody before he met the governor. That was amazing. So in one car ride, you find out that, yeah, he might have been a jerk, but he was never a murderer. And he was never a murderer before the governor. And so that is a key thing to find out about him. And his actions then start to make sense back in the prison where he's like, well, Rick's not going to do it. Well, I kind of felt like, no, he's never going to kill Michonne because he could have killed her the other time and he didn't.
Yep.
And then the fact that he was realizing, and he just felt so despondent, you know, he's looking for an escape. He's looking for heroin or whatever. What was it? Meth. He was looking for something, some escape. Like, he knew that he didn't fit into that group. He knew that he did not, but he knew that Daryl did.
Yep, yep.
And he loves his brother. He wants to protect his brother. There's no way they can exist in the same group. There's just no way they can be together anymore. He realizes that. He realizes that handing Michonne over to the governor is not going to end it, and therefore his brother will continue to be in danger. He knew that too. So the whole thing about it, it may have seemed drawn out dramatic to some people, but to me it was like, well, first of all, he's helping them all realize how wrong it is to sacrifice one person for the good of the others. He's helping them all to come to that moral decision, right? And he's kind of expressing to Michonne a respect. And then he leaves to shoot off a good decent amount of people.
He took them out.
Mm-hmm.
So people are complaining about the fact that the governor never had a full-on assault of the prison, right? He hates to have as many people because Miles took them out, right?
Yeah,
All
he was left was the raggedy bunch of families that he had armed up. So yeah, he was not going to be happy with that team.
Well, in his eyes when he was a zombie,
when they
just zoomed in on his eyes.
That is when I said, come on, that is way more powerful than anything that was going on with Andrew. I mean, that was hard. That was hard. And of course, it was Daryl. They had to take him out, too. So that was just, all around it was hard.
Well, his face was so soft, too. When, he was such a hard ass in the show. You never, ever saw that he had really, just a really endearing, genuine expression. Never saw that, except for that moment when he sees Daryl as a zombie.
Yeah.
That broke my heart. And that was just... amazing.
That's Walking Dead at its best. That's Walking Dead at its best. Absolutely.
Sorry.
No, you're just like, I saw his face and he was sad and depressed. His brother died. It was amazing.
he was like munching on an arm and it was still.
It was, and it's like, man, I certainly want to, point out to her that it is really sick that she finds it amazing, but I find it amazing too. We're both sick. Okay. So, I mean, that could have been the end. That should have been like the end of the season, not this Andrea business.
That's all I'm saying.
Because it was so powerful. Like, I was tearing up. Like, I had some, I think I put on Twitter, I had some tears for that. But Andrea, I had no tears. I mean, I really enjoyed that she got to go out on her own terms. Yeah, I enjoy that.
Took her 8 minutes to get the wrench. Just, it made you mad. It was the same kind of infuriation that you felt the whole season with her. It was like, come on, just do it. Just do it.
Yeah. She kept talking and stuff. She could have had that. She kept dropping the damn pliers, and then she tried to get them with her big man feet, and I'm just like, oh god, would you just do the thing? And I'm just glad it's over with. We don't have to deal with that anymore, unless she comes back as a ghost to somebody, which, dear god, I hope not.
But again, that parallel between so many other scenes like that in the past, where they've almost gotten killed by a zombie. Even, she herself has been in those situations before where she's almost gotten killed by a zombie, but makes it. Like, especially when she's running back to the prison and she somehow is confronted by two zombies at once in the woods while she's trying to hide from people, and somehow she makes it. But then the fact that she can't, she's just pressing her luck. She cannot do it. This whole thing is a crapshoot. And so it just was her time. She almost makes it, and then Milton bites her. And the cool thing about that moment is they cut away from it. You just see the door, and you hear a different kind of scream. I mean, you hear her scream was totally different from any screams you've heard in any of her other screams. So it was kind of like, I've been gotten, I'm defeated. That was the scream, and I knew it, and they didn't even have to show it. That was the cool part about it. Like, they cut away from it right at the moment, and her scream told you she was done for. Oh, I love this show.
It is wonderfully subtle, even while munching on arms and limbs. Yes, it is. It's a great thing.
Oh, man.
I can't believe I just talked about the different subtleties in her screams.
You're right.
And we was like, yeah, yeah.
I felt the timbre difference. Yes, it was so
Anyway, that was good. I don't know. Let's see, who else is doing stuff on the show that we need to talk about?
Well, T-Dog and Lori died. We didn't really talk about that.
Well, Oh, yeah, we had a whole show, Ode to T-Dog, remember?
Ode to T-Dog.
Oh, the Ode to T-Dog, that's right. That's right. Oh, the Side the Blood Walker episode. Right.
Yeah, but we didn't talk about, I don't think we talk about the prisoner that just got capped for no reason. He was flirting with Carol, and all of a sudden he got.
Convenient exit. Convenient exit. Now that Daryl's coming back, out.
I know, that's so funny. It was so funny. Like, the time Daryl was coming back, that dude just got capped. Also,
that was so creepy.
Talking a lot. I was just like, why is this prisoner talking so much? And I'm liking him and all. What's happening? Oh, this dude about to die. And then, pew. that was kind of unfortunate. I'm glad that Rick, like, so he looked up and he didn't see Lori anymore. Is he cured of the crazy, or?
That was the impression I got.
Yeah, he's moving on now, because it was part of the pain of the hopelessness that he was in, and now it's sort of like he's waking up. All right, I got new townspeople to take care of. We managed to pretty much survive the governor. I think he's coming out the funk now.
Well, and also sort of in a more metaphorical way, she was his moral compass, and so when he was making these sort of dubious decisions, you know, he would see her, and then he would get visibly upset about it. Mm-hmm. Well, once he had this busload of townsfolk or whatever come into the prison, then he looks up and she's gone. So it's kind of like, well, his moral compass has been restored, and now
the Ricktatorship is back on.
Ricktatorship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad that he told those people that this should be a democracy and not where he's the sole leader, because he's crazy, and you know, people shouldn't rely on him as much anymore because he's not making good decisions. I mean, he still, you know, has a good heart or whatever, but I was ready for Rick to die when he was gonna kill Michonne. I was just like, I'm done. If he dies this season, I don't care, because there's no way, because it just started to feel to me that, you know, oh, black character, I don't care. You know, it was no reason for him to be upset when she left to do something on her own, or to stab the governor's eye out. That shouldn't have hit him so hard. He shouldn't have been so upset with her just because she was a strong character. And I really disliked that about him. So I'm glad he made a decision not to do it, but it's like he pushed Merle into it. It felt like he was doing some Jedi mind trick that he was backing out of it. And then Merle was like, well, I know you're not going to do it, so I'm going to do it. So you, Rick, keep your hands clean. So I didn't like that, because he knew that, you know, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, but Merle knew Rick was going to come around. And it's almost like Merle also knew the governor would have gone through with it. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, when in the car ride, that perfect car ride, when we find out so much about him, we see Merle acknowledge that Rick is the kind of person who would go back for him, even though he was such a dick on the roof. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that Merle knows that on a fundamental level, it probably made it a lot easier for him to want to sacrifice himself to save this group, because his brother has chosen this group. They need as much help as they possibly can get, because, you know, they're still making somewhat decent decisions. And so in order to save Rick from himself, Merle takes it on.
Yeah. Well,
we didn't talk about Tyrese.
What is there to talk about?
Yeah, we haven't seen much.
What is there to talk about? Like, really?
Are you kidding me? The fact that he constantly is defiant, like the governor, he's constantly like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Every single thing the governor asks him to do.
Yeah, but it's in the most reasonably way possible. I thought this guy was supposed to be a badass. And so far on The Walking Dead, when they say a character's supposed to come in and, ooh, they're going to be a badass, I've been underwhelmed.
They have been a little lamb-like. Every time they go, yes, Michonne.
Out in the streets, mm-hmm. like, celebrating and stuff like that, because Michonne was coming and she got here. And I'm like, okay. And then this Tyrese guy came and everybody was just like, woo, Tyrese, it's time for Blit. And then I'm like,
I'm just going to take care of the kids and the families. Y'all go on into the city.
I cannot believe the stuff that he has said this season, and he is still alive. He's gone up against the governor. He said, I mean, he has been very self-effacing. He's been very sort of, I'm submissive. Like, no, you're the one. You're the one in power. But he's been able to make these decisions for himself and his people, and still make it alive. Like, he has defied the governor 2 or 3 times now.
But it's always been in a subtle way, and the only reason he has managed to survive is because I think the governor really thinks he's useful. You know, the governor, you see governor like, you know, this guy is giving me crap, but Merle's acting up, I might need a lieutenant. You know, you just see that little, he's something's working in his mind like, well, I could probably make use of this guy.
So, I don't know about that. Personally, it's probably not planned. Like, the fact that he's doing this is probably not planned. It's probably instinctive, but he, every time he's confronted the governor, except for one time, it's been in front of other people, other townspeople. So, like, every time he said, oh, you know what, I think we're going to stand back, this isn't our fight, or that kind of stuff, it's always been in front of other people, so the governor can't kill him outright. He's the governor, that takes a lot of planning.
Yeah.
You know how the governor likes a good tall tale on how people died. So he's probably going to think about it. And it's interesting to me that he's still alive. And maybe it's not calculated again. Maybe he's just instinctively somebody who can find a crazy person and live. But I think that's interesting enough to be happy that he's there on the show.
Yeah. Well, let's hope things get more exciting in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never read the comic, so I don't know what he was.
Yeah, I haven't either, but all you hear is that he was badass, and my idea of badass is like Wesley Snipes in Blade, which Wesley Snipes is out of jail. Yay! We're gonna get another Blade.
I know he needs the money from another Blade.
Oh my God!
There is another Wesley Snipes movie, Undead movie, coming out very soon. You know that, right?
Oh my God!
Yeah, he's like a Western gunslinger that kills undead things. Look it up. I don't know if it's going to be any good, but it's been.
Oh, it sounds like it's going to be amazing, Carl. You should watch it.
Listen, if you guys are going to watch it, I will be happy to watch it right after you guys. But
it's rumored Wesley Snipes is going to be in Expendables 3.
Well, that makes
sense. That's harsh. He's going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Really?
I
hate you.
No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, oh man, he really needs the money.
They don't have him in any undead anything. What are you talking about?
Oh my God. Are you gonna make me look this up?
I'm on his IMDb page.
It hasn't come out yet. All right, let's see. Wesley Snipes, Western, West. Come on, see there? You're making me do this now. Gallo Walkers is the name of the movie. Gallo Walkers. All right.
I don't know what you're talking about. Why are we on this subject?
It was filmed in 2012, and it's just now coming out. Maybe they need some more cuts or something.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. That's the one that's coming.
Easter this year, but it was already filmed.
That's all I'm saying is that's the next one that's coming out.
No, that's interesting. It's not on his IMDb page yet.
Well, it's on YouTube.
It's too shameful.
Probably. That could be it. It's just that epic. There's a clip on YouTube, so you can check it out.
All right, I'll do that. Okay, what were we talking about before I got really excited? Because I had
I don't even remember
his release date on my Google Calendar, because I'm ready for another Blade, even though the third one was kind of, you know, but we can
I don't remember what we were talking about. Oh, we were talking about Tyrese, but that's, I don't
know how we, yeah whatever, Tyrese.
Oh, he's not as badass. Well, the thing is, I don't know. I don't care that he's not as badass, because I'm seeing a lot more dimensions in his character than I would if he were just a badass.
But Michonne is just a badass, and she's not with dimensions.
Look how long it took for her to actually show some other emotion. That took several episodes for that to happen. And
she did not show emotion or dimension. She wasn't as badass as I thought she was going to be.
I think that we're probably going to get a lot more badassery from both of them soon. But the thing is, they're not just like programmed badasses with blinking chips underneath their skin. They're humans, and they have to bond with people in order to want to fight for them. So, you know, I think that Tyrese is going to join. Maybe he was already on the bus. I don't know. Tyrese is going to join up with Rick and the group again. And, you know, then they're going to run into other problems. And then we'll see the badassery. But, like, we have to have that set up, you know.
Maybe we
have met him in the show before that thing that's turned him into a badass. Maybe his wife dies or something, and then he becomes a badass.
He doesn't have a wife.
Oh, that's not his wife?
That's his sister.
Oh, shit.
That's a whole different kind of movie now. A whole different kind of
Whoa,
movie.
Whoa, that was his sister? They've been... Really?
Yeah.
I totally thought they were...
See, now I'm questioning everything you've said the whole podcast.
It's Luke and Leia. Whoa. I totally didn't even see that.
Oh, dear God.
Okay. Well, anywho.
Well, I don't know. I feel like clear on Walking Dead. Like, anything else?
No pun intended.
Oh, man. Yeah. I walked right into that one.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah. Good. I didn't mean for that to happen. Okay. So, Carl said something about seeing the G.I. Joe movie. I haven't seen it. Stephanie hasn't seen it.
Nope.
Should we?
It's tough. I'll put it this way. It is...
Is All it better than the first one? How much Christopher Eccleston is in there?
Almost none.
Oh.
Almost none. So, and the other thing is,
Bruce Willis.
Yeah, here's the thing. If you are a really big Channing Tatum fan and you're going to see this movie for Channing Tatum, you probably don't want to see this movie then. It's not your film. This really focuses more on The Rock and Bruce Willis.
Shit, that's all you had to say, really.
Okay, so if you're into that, so here's the thing. I actually liked the first G.I. Joe movie, and one of the main reasons I liked it is because, like the old cartoon series, it had a sense of scale to it. You know, they were underwater, they were in the air, they're all over the world, all different kinds of stuff. This G.I. Joe felt a lot smaller in terms of what was going on and the things, the places that they covered. So it did not feel as grandiose. Because they were, you know, Joes that were trying to survive with minimal resources. Then, you know, again, even the weapons, they had to cobble stuff together and things that people could find and other folks's, you know, that felt smaller. Everything about it felt smaller. Cobra was cooler in this episode. The Cobra Commander was cooler. I thought that was good, but you don't see that much of them. I don't know. It was competently made, and it had that whole kind of, you know, guy hammy one-liners back and forth. It was kind of fun to see that between Bruce and Channing and The Rock. That was kind of fun, but it wasn't expertly done.
Oh.
So you know, you just really have to be in the mood for that kind of stuff. It was not my favorite. Not my favorite. So it was okay. It was okay. If you got nothing else to do, to me, the reason I saw G.I. Joe is because my girlfriend said, she gave me a choice. She said, you can watch G.I. Joe Or you can watch the new Tyler Perry Temptation movie. I ran into G.I. Joe and saw that. And so, given those choices.
Lesser of two evils.
Given those choices, I feel pretty good with my choice of G.I. Joe. I felt pretty good with Retaliation. However, not everyone is going to have that Faustian choice.
Oh my god, so you know, like I said,
stuff blew up. You know, there was some decent fight scenes in it. The one-liners were a little thin, but hey, you know, it was okay. G.I. Joe, it was okay. That's all I got. That's
so
all
do
I
you got. Have any desire to see that Oz movie with
okay,
Franco, full Franco?
I did see it.
Oh.
I did see it. Yes, I did see it.
Oh my god!
Choices.
Look, here's the thing.
Oh god!
I'm not a big fan of Mila Kunis or James Franco. I don't really. The only reason that I went to see it is because I am a big fan of classic Oz, and I wanted to see, you know, if they were going to be able to do some. Visually, it was quite stunning. They did some really, really pretty, interesting things in it, but it was not my favorite. It was not my favorite, and I'm trying to figure out how much I can say, you know, because I don't want to spoil it.
But I'll
say this: we see the birth of the Wicked Witch, you know, the one that we know from the Wizard of Oz. We see the birth of her. She is so iconic and so classic that their interpretation of her in this movie. Is so, I mean, in the way they make her look, is so not there. I mean, because you know what she looks like. It's so easy to reproduce. She is iconic. You know how she's supposed to look. What they end up doing with her, you're like, that's supposed to be her? It just threw me. So there are some moments that are really interesting. Everybody knows the China Doll was my favorite. Everybody, the China Doll was probably the most interesting character in the movie. She was cute and fun, but they really do reference in some smart ways the original Oz. They tip the hat at a lot of things. You're like, oh yeah, it kind of explains some things. That was interesting, but it was not spectacular. It was not spectacular. I was surprised that it was number one for as long as it was. Because
it
did
was
very
the only
well.
Thing out.
Yeah, well, it did very well for a while.
Have you seen Have you seen any films, Stephanie?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. See, it's because I really like The Wizard of Oz. So you know, I really wanted to see what they were going to do with it, and it was all right, but just. And like I said, the fact that Kunis and Franco were headlining it again, I mean, I went to see it in spite of them, really.
Have you seen Return to Oz, Carl? Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
Is that the one with TikTok?
Yes!
Yeah.
That's what I thought this movie was going to be, like a Return to Oz.
Nothing can be Return to Oz. That was totally unique in its craziness. So, yeah.
With those bicycle hand people.
So weird. Did you see The Last Exorcism Part 2?
No,
because like it's the last exorcism, and then there's like a second one.
So it was the almost last exorcism. Yeah, I missed that one.
Jack and the Giant Slayer.
Nope, didn't see it.
No. What are you doing? Where are you playing?
I was watching Once Upon a Time. That was good enough. So
I'm watching The Americans. Which is awesome.
Yeah,
and I'm watching Hannibal, which only had one episode right now, but it's amazing.
Okay.
So that's what I'm watching.
Defiance. Did anybody catch a sci-fi?
Is that out yet? I don't think it's out yet.
Yeah, no, the premiere was out like last week sometime, like Thursday or Friday.
Oh, really?
It should be because
Is that like, well, is the that point the Star is, Trek where it. Like Data runs the ship?
What? No.
Why are you
No.
doing this to us?
The drag was, I actually got it. After you said, I was like, oh, she didn't have to go there.
Totally
didn't have to go there. Are you kidding me? That would have been a way
No.
better movie.
So painful. I just don't understand you at times. I don't know.
She enjoys her suffering. That's why.
She
Yep.
does.
Hey. Whatever. You're telling me all about G.I. Joe. Oh.
You didn't see the first one with Christopher Eccleston? What's wrong with you?
What? Why would I watch that?
That's not her
The
thing, though.
last,
That's not her thing.
memory I have of G.I. Joe is when my dad ran over my Scarlett action figure with the lawnmower and lawnmowed her boots off. And that was the last contact with G.I. Joe that I had.
I didn't know you were traumatized. I didn't think.
She was having action figure flashbacks. We didn't know. We're sorry.
It's a sensitive subject.
I see. Okay. So what's coming up next? You got in May. Wow, Star Trek is in May already?
Yeah, this is gonna be
Yeah, it
big. It's gonna be big this year. You know I'm dying for Iron Man. I am dying for Iron Man, so
is. World
I
War
cannot.
Z is coming.
Yeah, I'll go see that.
Yeah, I hope you get excited about that.
Yeah, no, that's
Hey,
Steph's. That's her
whatever
wheelhouse. That is her wheelhouse. You're talking about, war
happened
movies,
to
not so much, but crazy zombies and Brad Pitt, she's on it. That's
that? After Earth
it.
is coming up with Will Smith and his boy.
No, you know why? I don't know why you even mentioned in that one. You know why?
You know why? What?
'Cause you know who made that movie.
Oh, M. Night.
That's why. I am
What?
not even good. See, thank you. People need to be warned.
She was like,
And you know the funny thing is? The funny thing is, this is the first time that one of his movies has come out and his name is nowhere on it. I wonder why. I wonder why that is, that he is not putting his name boldly like he normally does in slow motion letters
Oh,
right across it all.
you think that's him? You think that's his decision? I don't think so.
Well, whoever it is, there's a good reason why his name is not on it.
Yeah.
But no, I am not going. I'm not going. I'm just
I'm
not.
going to see it, and you're going to see it too. You
Oh,
made me
no.
watch Revolution, God damn it. You are going to see After Earth, and you're
Revolution is free. I am not doing
going
that.
to
Now,
see
let me
it.
tell you. Let
And
me
you're
tell
not
you.
going to support the brother.
Now, look, I'll support the brother, but guess why? This is why. Because Will Smith has just signed on and has officially begun production on the remake for Colossus the Forbin Project. That I am on. That I am
I
on.
would be
So,
excited if I knew what the hell that
that is
was.
because you were
Okay.
just a baby. You don't appreciate the
Oh my God.
classics.
You know who's
And,
talking about leaving my soul.
this, you just, you, I mean,
Are you old enough to know what he's talking about, Steph? Because I
people,
don't know what
people
he's
know.
No,
talking about.
Carl, you are killing my soul. You
No,
are
no,
killing it.
listen. Because look, y'all don't appreciate it. I'm telling you, y'all the newbies. Y'all just the kids. Let me tell you,
The
the newbies. If you were a real sci-fi
Oh,
fan,
here we
if you
go.
were a real
Really?
sci-fi,
Oh, this is happening?
you would
Fake
realize,
sci-fi fan girl.
that there are only three super villain AIs in the history of science fiction. All right, they're only three. They're only three. Okay, now there is.
Pal.
There, yes, HAL is one. HAL certainly counts.
Skynet. What?
Skynet, I will give you Skynet very tentatively. But the third most definitive, most evil AI in all of sci-fi movie history
Data.
is Colossus. And you're going, who? That is because they've been biting off a clock. You thought Whopper from War Games was bad? No, no. You thought
Whopper from War
Whopper,
Games? Are you
yes, that
kidding me?
was War
Have
Games.
you got on my case for talking about Data and
Excuse
Defiance? Are you
me,
kidding me with
you
that?
do know who Whopper is. My point's
Of
made. My
course
point's made.
I
The
know
fact
who
that you know it.
Whopper is.
All I'm saying is, when you see, because you need to go back and watch it. Colossus the Forbin Project was the coolest classic AI cause and trouble
Is
on
that in
planet
black
Earth
and
movie.
white?
No, it came out in 1970. I think it was 1970. It stars
Dude, were we born,
Eric Braeden.
Stephanie?
No,
Yes,
I
but
was
you were.
negative years old.
And you were not born during 2001, but you know who HAL is. I'm not getting in it with you guys.
But
I'm
that
just
didn't
saying
come
it.
out in 2001.
Okay, I know the point
you're trying to make.
I'm not even going to acknowledge it. No, my point
I'm
is,
lost.
I don't know what we're talking about. Can we talk about Man of Steel and the sexy guy that's going to... I wonder how much is the Longshoreman.
You wanted me to support Will Smith. I'm just saying, that's the one I'm going to support.
Yeah, but that's still not going to keep you from seeing After Earth because I demand it.
Well, wait a minute.
I might have to pass on that mess.
Because we're going to have to analyze it. We have to do turd shows at the end of the year, and I'm quite sure that that's going to be one of them.
I don't know about watching any more turds. I'm sorry, people. This is, you guys do your turd show. Leave me out of it. I don't need to watch any turds with you. You guys
okay,
have...
that's fine. All right. Are you going to see Man of Steel? Anybody going to see
it? No.
What?
I'm going to see it. Of course. I'm on.
It's
on
Superman.
For that.
Nene?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go see that. You know what I'm going to see?
Red 2.
Nope.
The Wolverine.
Nope.
Pacific
Upstream War. Color.
What now?
Upstream Color.
Oh,
what is that?
Have you seen the movie Primer?
Yes.
Well, Shane Krupp's got a new movie out called Upstream Color.
Huh. Okay. Smurfs 2.
That's her.
What?
She's all over that. That's her movie right there.
Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters.
Here you go. She's on it.
Mm-hmm.
What? What's the other movie that's coming out?
The Wolverine.
What?
That one movie with that dude from Prometheus that you like so much, Cap, the captain guy that
are they
died.
Make a closed circuit? Wait, what, is this?
What are you talking about?
It wasn't closed circuit, that robot? Oh, no, that's something else. Sorry.
Are you talking about Short Circuit?
I'm confused. You all confuse me.
I don't know what she's talking about.
I
want to see Pacific Rim. That's what I want
to
see.
Okay, good. Yeah, me too.
Pacific Rim, that's the one. That's the one. Were you guys already talking about that? So
yes,
know.
We were already talking about that.
Oh, my gosh.
You
really
actually
sorry.
Interrupted us to tell us about Pacific Rim. Good going. Yes.
There's a
I'm so confused. Carl, you're jumping back and forth.
Yes,
like...
Hey, this is for you. This is for you. Okay. Paranormal Activity 5.
Yes. Woohoo. That one's a good one. That's a keeper.
Down Colossus. All right, look. We got Riddick. Chronicles of Riddick is coming back. I want to see that.
Ender's Game. Thor the Dark. How we get a Thunder Thor.
Kick-Ass 2. Kick-Ass 2 we got.
Kick-Ass 2.
Mm-hmm.
What about Antiviral?
I don't know what that is.
Tyler Perry,
I don't know.
Dear Christmas.
No.
Your girlfriend is going to be like, that or The Hobbit?
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be a choice again for me. You know where I'll be.
The Hobbit. So there's another Hunger Games coming, Thor the Dark Worlds, like I said, Ender's Game, Sin City, Paranoia.
Upstream Color, people. Upstream Color.
Well, I like Primer. That was awesome. So maybe I'll give it a shot.
Yes.
Upstream Color is coming out. It's out.
Yeah, it's out. I was just reading an article on it.
Yeah, this
like,
guy,
yesterday.
He only releases movies like in 2 theaters. So, you know,
well,
you have to
he,
work
well, I don't know.
What do you mean? It was only open to 2 movies. I was like, what?
It's hard to find. It's limited release, you're right, but still.
Well, like,
I mean, limited release nowadays is...
In Ithaca.
Ithaca?
It's not going to be
Oh, we didn't even talk about the new Evil Dead.
Oh.
Hello?
Well, yeah.
What?
Not yet. I want to see
it. Oh, yeah. I'm going to see that.
Yeah. That's on the list. We'll get you back.
I can't believe we didn't go there.
Yeah, we haven't seen it yet.
Did we go there? Are we going right now and I'm just interrupting again? Telling you about
no,
is that what happened?
You
yeah,
scooped us on that
one. Yeah. You're late.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, so I haven't seen it, and I'm trying to, like, stay away from it as much as possible until I see it, because I love the old movies, the old films so much, and the musical, so this one, it has some living up to the past.
You really turned me on to the musical, but the last 2 times that I've been to see the musical, it's
You've
been
seen
this
the musical
weird...
times already?
I have seen it 2 times, and they're the same people, unfortunately. So, like, it's like the same, like, freaking Bible group from Oklahoma that's doing this, and they can't sing. They cannot sing. The only good part about the show is knowing all the words and the notes so that I can sing it in my head, and the splatter zone, which is amazing.
Yeah, you need to see, because they're doing it in Vegas, and I heard it's really good in Vegas.
Yeah, I heard that it's a really great show when it's professionally done, but
yeah,
these people literally are pulling out, like, costumes from Goodwill, and I don't know. I've seen it twice. They've paid really good money to see it, too, which is kind of annoying. At least if the costumes are iffy, the singing should be there, because it's a musical. But
wait, is Stephanie Carl? Carl?
What? Did we drop Carl?
Carl?
Yeah,
he sent me a text and said
here.
He got to...
What's happening? I'm here. Oh. What's going on?
Are you... Yeah. You got to go?
I do.
Okay.
But the reason I sent the text is so we would not interject in the middle of the conversation.
Well, when I said to you, you should have said hello, and I would have done that, but I had to say it like 5 times to get you to say anything.
It took me a second to unmute the darn thing. I'm walking around over here. Fine. Smooth.
Get off the damn phone.
Smooth.
Yeah.
I'm not on the phone because I have a state-of-the-art communications network on the internet.
My God, Carl.
So, you know, some people might have to
shut
dial
me down.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Got hung up on Carl. And so I enjoyed that so much.
I know.
Oh my God. Okay. So, yeah, it's just a lot of movies coming out. Stephanie, now we have a real show.
You really hang up on that. That's amazing.
And, I don't know. I want to get you to see some of these. You got to see something.
I don't know.
Birdemic 2. That's coming out.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm definitely seeing Birdemic 2.
Yeah, we gotta be hanging out with the family again.
I want to see Empty Viral, though. I mean, it looks like a little independent film about, you know, some horrible pandemic.
You've seen
it? And, you know, I don't know. I'm really into horrible pandemics killing people, so I think I'm going to watch that one.
Okay, whatever. Well, you're going to see Thor, at least.
Thor?
Yeah.
That's going to be out?
In November.
Oh, well, geez, that is so far away. Yes, I will see it in November. I will. Is that the next time we're going to podcast or something?
Probably. All right, well, we can put this one up.
Are you going to watch Evil Dead?
Yeah, I'm going to watch that.
Well, I'm watching that. I'm totally down with that.
Yeah.
Are you going to watch Upstream Color now? I think that's going to be a really good one. If it's
I tried to sign in to see if it was going to play in Ithaca, but Fandango wouldn't load, so I'll see in a second.
Okay, yeah, because it's playing here in Portland, and it's not like Portland is any kind of big market area.
You have a mall and, like, a Macy's.
Yeah, okay, so that means that it's exclusive.
Yeah.
When is World War Z coming out?
I don't know, but Brad Pitt and zombies.
Yeah, but Brad Pitt and zombies.
And people are hanging up on us. They're turning off the show.
What about that one movie? I saw a trailer for a movie. It's probably coming on, which is not boding well for it right now, because there was this one movie that I saw like a trailer for back in December about a zombie that was coming back, like they're finding a cure for zombies, and it's like a love story.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to see that, really. Like,
I did, but I didn't hear anything about it when it actually came out.
Funny or something. I don't know. I didn't get it.
I wanted to see it, though, because it has the dude from About a Boy, who's all grown up, which is creeping me out because now I'm totally cougaring about a dude that's, like, 20. But anyway.
Cougaring?
He's... Well, right? Because he's like, is that a word? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
anyway,
understand.
But he super soaks in real with his bushy eyebrows.
So,
anyway.
So here's somebody's bushy eyebrows that you like.
Yes. You have to deploy them in the right way, and bushy eyebrows can be a good thing.
All right.
Whatever. You and I share this. You and I share this. Well, maybe not bushy eyebrows.
Yeah, no. Not so much. Okay. Well, let's wrap this one up, Stephanie. And
okay. Reel me in. Why don't you?
This one up. So guys, go to our website, scifipartyline.com. You can leave us a comment there. We're on Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus and wherever else. Just, you know, Google Sci-Fi Party Line. You can find us, leave us a comment. And thanks for listening to the show. We love it.
Wait. Are we gonna mention our blog?
Oh yes. Stephanie and I have now, well, we have a blog, but we haven't been blogging on our blog, but our new blog is called.
But we would blog if we had some followers.
No, we blog if we had time. What's the name of our blog?
It's called Whiskey Tango Fangirl.
Woo!
And we're on Twitter, people.
We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We could quite possibly be on Google. I don't know what we're on. But it's
I don't know.
You know, talking about weird stuff or stuff that goes on in our head or texts that we send between each other. Like Stephanie had a voicemail that was really interesting that she sent me something about sausage legs. And that was really great. So
this happens, people. You wonder if this happens after the podcast. Kat and I, this is the constant thing that goes on between us. It's amazing, and we thought we decided we would capture some of it.
Yeah.
And we haven't been doing a really good job of it, but, you know, if you guys actually care about what we talk about, then please do follow us, Whiskey Tango Fangirl. And, we'll try and write more. But,
more sausage legs.
But yeah, if you're ever wondering what Kat and I do offline, it's all this. It's like in-depth talk about eyebrows. Anyway.
Oh, God. We're saying and shirtless rage.
And shirtless rage. There are so many conversations that end with shirtless rage.
Yeah.
Not us, but, you know.
Yeah. So, and that's our show, and that's our blog. And we'll see you again next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
End of line.